John, thank you for playing and singing. Amen. Thank you. Thank you very much. John, chapter number 9 is we're in today. And I pray that the singing was a blessing to you as it was to me. It prepares our hearts for the message. John, chapter number 9, our text verse today is going to be here in John chapter 9. And we're going to look at verse number 4. John chapter 9, verse number 4 and 5 is going to be our text today. But we're going to have to set the stage here in just a second. So John chapter number 9, verse 4 and 5. If y'all got a Bible, say amen. Amen. Let's read verse 4 and 5 together as a family, please. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. Let us pray. Holy Spirit, please speak to us today. We pray, Father, as you promised, that your word would not come back void. And whether it is someone's on the internet or on campus today that does not know you, may they be saved. And for us, your children, Father, help us. Yes, those that are lost need to come from blindness to sight. But even us sometimes, Father, we get a little blind. I pray, stretch us and grow us today. In Jesus' name, amen. Take your Bibles there. Look and keep your hand there in John 9. Context is a very important thing in the Bible. And understanding it, to interpret it, you know, English grammar is like the foundational nuts and bolts to understanding the Bible. But also understanding the context. Who was talking? When are they talking? What are they talking about? And to whom are they talking? And where are they geographically does matter. What we find is that Jesus is roughly 6 months away from the cross. He knows it. He knows it. And as I've said, the Gospel of John, predominantly, 90% of it, is not found in the other Gospels. So on Sunday night tonight at 6 o'clock, Brother Jim teaches the life of Christ in the parallel Gospels, meaning he takes the four Gospels and he is walking through Christ's life. It's an incredible study. If you're not currently serving the Lord or coming, you should come on Sunday night for that. That's a blessing. Now, Jesus has got 6 months, and he is trying as hard as he can to convince people of the truth that he is the Messiah. I know we're in campaign season. I know we're voting on Tuesday, and y'all better go out and vote or don't complain. Right? Y'all exercise your right to vote. Get out there and do it. Now, become part of the process. But you're trying to make a decision based on the claims of the people who talk to you, who market to you, who send you things in the mail. You're making some sort of basis on that understanding. Jesus is not campaigning for the position of Messiah. He is the Messiah. But to get people to understand it, he's trying to convince them. That's why in John chapter 1 and verse 12, it says he came unto his own, but his own, or John 1, I think it's verse 4 or 5, it says, he came unto his own, but his own received him not. So understand what's going on right at this second. He is standing in the temple. So you've got the most holy place where the Shekinah glory of God rests on the mercy seat, the Ark of the Covenant. And then you have the holy place where the showbread and the candlestick and thing are. Then you come out into the court. This is where people would pray and they would hear the word of God read. This is where Jesus is standing, okay? And he is surrounded by the Levites and priests, and then behind them are all the common people who have come to hear him speak, hear him teach, this carpenter from Nazareth. Behind him is the gate that leads out into the court of women. The women weren't allowed to come that far. They could only come to this gate. So what do you think the women were doing? They're like, what's he saying? I can't hear him. Everybody's so tall. Why can't I? And they're looking through the lattice work. And they're looking through the door. And then on the other side of that is the court of the Gentiles. Those that were Gentile converts, couldn't even get into the court of the women, let alone the court out here. And Jesus is standing and they're talking to him in John 8. And he's trying to convince them. Look in John chapter number 8. We'll start in verse number 47. And he said, he that is of God heareth God's words. Ye therefore hear them not, because ye are not of God. If you folks, that's what he's saying to these priests and Levites. Listen, if you folks really were God's people, then you would understand what I'm saying. I am God's messenger here on this foreign soil, speaking God's words at this outpost. kind of the Bible's, or the church is kind of like that today. The church is God's embassy on foreign soil, where we listen to God's words and we follow God's laws right here. This is kind of an embassy in a foreign country. And you understand that Jesus is trying to convince them. Verse 48, then answered the Jews and said unto him, say we not well that thou art a Samaritan and hast the devil? I told you, they've been running a smear campaign on Jesus Christ now for 3 years. They have been smearing his name, saying, you're a Samaritan, you're a half-breed, you're crazy. Don't listen to him, he's crazy. I think he's possessed. Or they're making all kinds of, well, he's a friend of whores. I bet you he's a whoremonger. Or he meets with publicans and sinners. Bet you he's a drunk or a gluttonous person. And they're doing all these crazy things through their social media of the day, which was word of mouth, that he's crazy. And they're like, so I told you, we thought you were nuts. Verse 49, Jesus answered and said, I have not a devil, but I honor my Father, and ye do dishonor me. And I seek not my own glory. There is one that seeketh and judges. There, verily, verily, I say unto you, if a man keep my sayings, he shall never see death. Then said the Jews unto him, now we know that thou hast a devil. Abraham is dead and the prophets. And thou sayest, if a man will keep my sayings, he shall never taste death. Art thou greater than our father Abraham, which is dead? Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. Art thou, and the prophets are dead? Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, I am. And why? Because Jesus is not a creation. He is the creator of all that is created. John chapter 1 tells us that. So he is the creator. He is the one who was the friend of Abraham. Abraham was his friend. He was called the friend of God. It was Jesus who gave Abraham the promise of a son. As he sat in the cool of the day in his tent door, and he saw Jesus and two angels coming down the road. And he washed their feet, and he put out food, and he sat, and he talked to them. And they said, where's Sarah? Well, she's in the tent. At the time of life, she will conceive and bear a son. And Sarah heard it, and she laughed. She's 90-some years old. He's 100 and some change, and just, give me a break. And Jesus said, why did she laugh? Is there anything too hard for God? This is who we're talking about here. He is trying to tell them, I am the Messiah. I am the one. I'm the one that promised Abraham. I'm the one who is pictured in the coat of skins that was promised to Adam and Eve in the garden, Genesis chapter 3. I am the one who was pictured by the lamb that Abel gave in Genesis 4. I am the one who was pictured in the ark of Noah in Genesis chapter 9. I am the one who promised Abraham in Genesis 14 and 17 and 18. I am the one that was pictured by the ram caught in the thicket by his horns, who was lifted out and put on the altar in place of Isaac. In the mount of the Lord it shall be seen, Genesis 22, Abraham said. I'm the one Moses wrote about. I am the Passover lamb. I'm the one. Guys, don't you notice? In John chapter 5, he said, listen, guys, I get it. If I was the only one who said I was the Messiah, I'd be skeptical too. But John the Baptist, you sent to him, and he said, I'm the one. My Father in heaven audibly spoke twice, and the whole world heard it. Thou art my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. How do you think the Incas responded on the other side of the world in Central America, South America? There, as God spoke and the world heard. He says, it's me. Man, if that wasn't enough, how about the miracles I do? Now, miracles are creative, divine creative acts of God. That's what a miracle is. A miracle is a divine creative act of God. He does something because he's the creator. He has complete control over the creation and can manipulate things the way he wants to. So Jesus, he's like, I've been doing miracles all this time, and you've heard the testimony of it. Why don't you understand what I'm saying? Look at John chapter 8. Verse 54, Jesus answered, if I honor myself, my honor is nothing. It is my Father that honoreth me, of whom ye say that he is your God. Boys and girls, I am the Son of God. I am co-equal, co-existent. I'm every bit as much God as the Father and the Holy Spirit. I am God. I am standing in front of you. I am his Son. Look what it says here. It says,
Verse 55. So it's like they said that he is your God. Verse 54. And ye have not known him. He's walking around. Remember now, he's standing in the court and he's surrounded by these Levites and priests. And you guys don't know him. He's just walking around going, you say you're Christian. You say you believe in God. You say you're Abraham's children, but you don't even know the God you worship. Look what he says here. But I know him. And if I should say I know him not, I shall be a liar like unto you. But I know him and keep his saying. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day. Now, certain commentators and certain Jewish historians believe that when God made the promise to Abraham, remember he went out at night, and he made the offering to God, and he had to chase the birds away. And that God came to him and gave him a vision, a terrible vision of his children being born into being in bondage and then coming out, and from him coming the Messiah. They believe that Abraham saw all the way down through Calvary to the crown. Abraham saw it all. That's what they believe. I believe it definitely could be interpreted also that he saw it when he sacrificed that lamb instead of Isaac. He said, in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. He could see Jesus' day. I think that's a safe bet. Now look what it says here. He rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. Then said the Jews unto him, thou art not yet 50 years old, and hast thou seen Abraham? Who do you think you are, boy? And Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. The tetragrammaton, do you understand? I am. I'm the one who spoke to Moses, who said, I am that I am. I am. You say, are you sure about that? Well, verse 59, then they took up stones to cast at him. What do you think? What do you think he meant? Do you think he was making a joke? Do you think maybe he was just playing a pun or a play on words or a colloquium? No! He said before Abraham was, the one that was finite, who had a definite beginning and he died physically, I have had no beginning or end. I am he that was and is to come. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I am that I am. That's what he said. And man, now it's kind of like he just went, I am. You know what I'm saying? Mic drop, what are you going to do? And they're all like freaking out. Because when they took their eye off Jesus, you know what he did? It says in verse number 58, then they took up stones to cast at him, 59. But Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple, therefore going through the midst of them and so passed by. Now he did not go, oh, don't hit me. No. He's like, mic drop. And they're all like, give me a stone. And while nobody's looking, he just like, let's go. And he just walks. And everybody's like, where'd he go? Where'd he go? He didn't disappear. He just walked through the crowd. And then he comes through the gate where the women are. And you know what the women are doing? They're like, what did he say? Oh, they're all upset. What's going on? I can't see. What's going on? And people are pushing past them. What's going on? They're still upset. They're still freaking out. And he just walks right through them, walks out through the Gentile area, and comes to the front gate. Now, you understand, if they could get a hold of Jesus, they're going to kill him. Right? What do you think they were picking up stones for? You think they were just collecting offerings for him and going, here, isn't this a pretty one? No, they're going to kill him. Jesus just drops the mic. Let's go, boys. And he just walks straight through them. And they're like too busy trying to find a stone to figure out what's going on. And he stops at the gate. He's going to heal this man. Little spoiler alert. He's going to heal this man at the gate. But why? That man was at the gate when Jesus walked in. That man was just as blind when Jesus walked into the temple in John 8 and started teaching. But you know, Jesus saw him. And we do this. We have a tendency to do this in our lives where we walk by people and we don't see them. We quit looking. Maybe it's your receptionist. You've just been there. She's been there forever, and you don't even acknowledge her. You just walk by. Jesus isn't that way. Jesus saw him. Maybe it's somebody at the gas station you're used to judge. You just do your business and leave. There are people that you and I walk by and run and go by, and we don't even acknowledge they exist. And that's how Jesus does things. Jesus saw him. Jesus saw somebody nobody else was paying attention to. And this man had a need. Now, I want you to understand, as I said, miracles are a divine creative act. This is an act of God in creation. Now, because Adam sinned, his sin was imputed or transferred or credited to all of his offspring. Sin came into the world and death by sin. Therefore, death is passed upon all men, for all have sinned. That's what the Bible tells us. And because you and I have earthly parents, an earthly father specifically, sin is passed from father to son, father to daughter. It's passed through. And I want you to understand that because Adam did this, this world around us is now ravaged by sin. Prior to Adam's sin, there was no thorns on roses. There were no little prickly things that got stuck in your shoes and in your bike tires. Remember that when you was a kid? There were no cockaburrs on dogs and things. You know what a cockaburr is? Anybody ever have to pull them out of the dog or the cat? You know what I'm saying? They didn't have thorns. They didn't have things. Death did not happen. Lions and tigers and bears, oh my, they did not eat meat. But since Adam sinned, sin entered the world. And because sin entered the world, death came. And I want you to understand, so did disease and viruses, birth defects, because sin corrupts the world. That's why. It's why there are these things in the world. Do not blame God for cancer. Adam sinned and brought death into the world because of his sin. Sin came first, not death. And from it become the maladies of life. And here's a man who was born blind. So that means when Jesus did miracles. Now it was prophesied he would do miracles, by the way. That's why his miracles should have been his bona fides. They should have been what confirmed who he was. Take your Bible, turn to Isaiah chapter 42 and verse number 7. I want you to see this. It was prophesied that he would open the blind eyes. Miss Mix sings a beautiful song about how he opened the blind eyes and opened the deaf ears. Look at Isaiah 42 and verse 7. Listen to what it says here. Isaiah chapter 42 and verse 7. To open the blind eyes, to bring out the prisoners from prison and them that sit in darkness out of the prison house. I am the Lord. This is a messianic prophecy that he would do this. So that means when Jesus did miracles, he did divine creative acts. That means where there were no optical nerves, they grew. Where there was a congenital defect in a limb, it grew out perfectly. That means when an organ was diseased and he touched them, they were immediately made perfect. They worked fine. This was a divine creative act. That's what a miracle was. Now, in the case of this man, he was born blind. And blindness was a real problem back in those days, just like it is today. People still go blind. The optic organs that allow us to see are very fragile. The disease and conditions, accidents can cause us to lose our eyesight, and we people go blind. So, but people automatically assumed it was from sin, and we're going to get to that in just a second. Look at John 9:1, and Jesus passed by. Now remember, two gates behind him is an uproar. People are trying to find bags of rocks and trying to figure out which way Jesus went out, and they're all like, what's going on, and where's he at, and we got to find him, blasphemer! And they're screaming and shouting and hollering, whatever. And he just stops. That's all going on behind him. And he stops. Now, I don't know this to be true, but I think to myself, I try to put myself in his shoes, and I think to myself, okay, if you won't hear me, and you won't hear what Moses wrote, and you won't hear my Father speaking audibly from heaven, maybe you'll listen to one of your own. See, the Bible says in Leviticus chapter 24 that those who were the offspring of Levites, basically, who did the service of the temple, if they were blind, they were not allowed to go in. They were not allowed to go to the altar and worship. If they had a flat nose or crooked back or a dwarf or any other malady, physical malady, they were not to do the priest's office. And I'm going to show you some reasons why I believe this guy is probably the son of a Levite. And he's sitting at the temple gate begging. And Jesus is like, you know what? Maybe you won't listen to me. Maybe you'll listen to one of your own. So he stops to heal this man. Now, why didn't he heal him on the way in, Brother Matt? I always been asking myself that, but you know what I figured out? God cares for us. He loves you. He loves your life. He loves the details of your life. He cares about your safety. He cares about it. But he isn't near as concerned about this life as the next one. The fact that he was blind wasn't his biggest problem. Because you can have two eyes and go to hell. You can have two feet that work and you can go to hell. You can have multitudes of children and go to hell. You can hear and still go to hell. Hell is directly below your feet in the center of the earth, filled with somebody's darlings, somebody's babies, because they all started off as babies, because babies don't go to hell. Babies who died go straight to heaven. The Bible teaches that. But I'm talking about adults who started off as somebody's little baby. They're adults in hell right now, but they started off as somebody's little precious. And you can grow up and have a perfectly fit body and still go to hell. Or you can go to hell blind, or you can go to hell deaf, or you can go to hell lame. You can go to hell paralyzed. So Jesus just walked by him when he went in to teach. But now on the way out, you know what? I'm going to do this so that they'll listen to one of their own. Look at John 9:1. He saw a man there that was blind from his birth. That means this man's never seen. Not one time. Not one speck of light. Not any color. Nothing. He's never seen anything ever at any time. Not a glimmer. Not a rose. Not a cloud. Not a blue sky. He's never seen anything. He doesn't know anything. Can you imagine trying to explain an elephant to this guy? Or a giraffe. I mean, have you ever seen a giraffe? Does that look like the work of a serious artist? We'll take a horse with a really long neck and orange polka dots. How do you explain that to a blind man? He's never seen anything ever at any time anywhere. He's born blind. And the disciples ask him, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Okay. So what are you trying to say here, Matthew or Mark or Matthew or James or John? What are you trying to say here? Are you trying to say that we got a little pre-crime going on here? You know, or, hey, I want to tell you something, brothers and sisters. There are people in Derbyshire who are intelligent, with security clearances, who make big money, who think reincarnation is a fact. Don't think this is just something from back yonder. I knocked on a door here at a lady. She goes, oh, we're Buddhist. So how's that working for you? Okay. Well, did he sin in some past life? There is no such thing as past life. There is no such thing as reincarnation. That's a lie. But that's how the Jewish mindset thought. Well, then if it's not him, maybe it's his parents. Because, see, blindness back in those days was because gonorrhea was rampant back then. We know that to be a scientific fact. And they didn't have the medicines we have today. So if the only way to keep your kids from having to get an STD from you is to stay pure until you're married. And make sure your husband or your wife, your spouse stays pure until you're married. The only way to guarantee you're not going to get it is to stay pure until you're married. Can somebody say amen in this house today? Sex before marriage is wrong. Shacking up, boy, I'm telling you, I love you, but shacking up's wrong. Don't do it. Don't do it. Sex before marriage is wrong. Get married. I'll do it. Listen, go get you a marriage license. We'll take care of it after church. What? Come on now, I love you. But the Jews are like, well, he's born blind. Maybe mama ran around on daddy. Got an STD. Maybe daddy ran around on mama. Or maybe daddy was played the whoremonger before he met mama. And now Junior here is blind. They didn't have the medicines we have today. And so this is where a lot of kids were born this way if they had an STD. And blindness, listen to me. This is an excellent picture of salvation. The Bible says, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them that believe not, 2 Corinthians 4:4, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Blindness, listen, I know what it's like to be lost. I know what it's like not to know Jesus as my Savior. I didn't get saved till I was 23. And I know what it means to be spiritually blind. And look at Christians who assemble on a Sunday morning and go, what a waste of time. I know what it means to look at it and go, this doesn't make sense. Why would you do this? Because I was blind. But you know, blindness made him a beggar. Because blindness kept this man from working, having any kind of job or career. And because he could not work, he could not wed. He could not have a family. Blindness kept him also from worshiping. Leviticus 21, verses 17 through 23, if you're making a note. Because the offspring of Levi were not allowed to go to the altar to worship if they were blind or in some malady. But Jesus saw a man where the apostles saw a problem. Verse 2. So who sinned? Who did sin? This man or his parents that he was born blind? Look at verse 3. Jesus explains. Jesus answered, neither. Neither hath this man sinned nor his parents. They were pure. They did right. But that the works of God should be made manifest in him. He is blind so that I could heal him on this day, for this hour, for this reason. Verse number 4. I must work the works of him that sent me. While it is day, I have to do it while it's the day. The night cometh when no man can work. You know, they didn't have artificial light back then. Back then, you worked till sundown and that was it. You couldn't hit the field till sun up. You couldn't see yourself. Couldn't see your hand in front of your face and plow a straight furrow. You had to wait till the sun came up. He said, I got to work. And the night's come when no man can work. Verse 5, as long as I'm in the world, I'm the light of the world. You remember me saying last week how that Jesus said in John 1, 4 and 1, 8 and 1, 10 that he is the light of the world. John 8, 12, he's the light of the world. But look at verse number 6. When he had thus spoken, this guy is blind for a reason. And that reason was for today. If they won't listen to me, and they won't listen to Abraham, and they won't listen to Moses, and they won't listen to my father, maybe they'll listen to one of their own. Look what it says. He had thus spoken, he spat on the ground, and he made clay of the spittle, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay. Now, do you think that blind man just stepped up and went, yeah, go ahead, throw mud on my face? No, he fussed the whole way. I'm sure he was like, oh, come on, man, leave me alone. I'm picking on the blind guy. What are you doing? Verse 7. And he said unto him, go wash in the pool of Siloam, which by interpretation is sin. Go wash in the pool. And he went his way. I bet you he fussed the whole way there. Oh, man, picking on the blind guy. Oh, what is this stuff? Man, is this what I think it is? Oh, yeah. Right? Now imagine, he's down there. Now they had these pools where you would wash to be ceremonial clean, plus you'd get the dust and dirt off you before you went into the house of God. So it says here in verse number 7, he went his way therefore, washed and came seeing. That means he got down on his face. Oh, I can't believe I'm having to do this. Oh, golly, what a mess. And he put some things on his face. He's like, oh, gosh. And then all of a sudden, a speck of light, the very first speck of light broke through. Now, he's never seen it before. He's never experienced this before. I'll bet you he froze. You ever hit your head so hard you see stars? I mean, it doesn't just happen on Bugs Bunny. You know what I'm saying? You get smacked in the head hard enough and you see all kinds of sparkly things and crazy things. That's not what I'm talking about. I mean, he has never experienced anything ocular with his ocular organs in any way, shape, or form. He gets it and he stopped. And for the split second, he pauses. I mean, for the very first time in his entire life, he experiences sight. And it breaks through on him. And this had to be overwhelming. Because he is blind as a stump. And he just... And just, it took, he had to process. He had to process. Verse number 8, it says he came seeing. Now, I love little kids. I miss having little babies at the house. You know what I'm talking, I do. I miss it. They're gorgeous, aren't they? Every step is Sister Claudia, isn't every step an experience? Yeah. When they're little, right? When they're little and they're just like, this is cool. What if they got to put every piece of dirt in their mouth? They got to put every stick in their mouth. They got to put every leaf in their mouth. Because I can see it and I can smell it, but now I got to taste it and I got to, you know. And it's like everything is a discovery. This guy is seeing for the very first time. Do you think he just went and played lotto after that? No, man. He's like, why even? Oh, so that's what that looks like. And even the pile of manure looks cool. And he hadn't seen nothing. Everything was a discovery. Everything was an experience. Everything was glorious. Like that moment when God illuminated you. When it clicked finally. And you understand now. I didn't see it. I don't see it. And man, there's so many things I want to talk about, but I can't get to it right this second. Maybe another time, but he sees. He finally sees. The thing that kills me about working with teens sometimes is the fact that they don't see it. And we as parents want it so bad for them. So they'll avoid the mistakes we made, so they'll have better than we had, and we're doing it, but they can't see it. They just can't see it. And will it take 40 years of blindness for them till they finally have their eyes open? Will it take 50 years? Will it take 70 years? What will it take? This took an encounter with Jesus. Verse 8. The neighbors, therefore, and they which before had seen that he was blind, said, is not this he that sat and begged? Isn't this the guy that's been sitting at that gate forever? Verse 9, some said, well, this is he. Others said, well, he's like him. But he said, no, it's me. It's me. I am he. Verse 10, therefore they said unto him, how were thine eyes open? Well, how did this happen? Now, wait a second. Those that said, this is he, knew he was blind and had known him for a long time. Because now they're like, wow, how is it that you see? And he said, a man that is called Jesus made clay and anointed my eyes and said unto me, go to the pool of Siloam and wash. I wonder if he said, yeah, and I fought him the whole way. Maybe you're not receiving your miracle today because you find God's way of doing miracles in your life is an imposition. It's inconvenient. I had my spot. I was all comfy. Now that I got up, somebody else could get my spot and they'd have a better day begging than I did because they got my spot. Dude, you're trying. God wants to heal you. God wants to make you see, and you're arguing about being a beggar. And we remain just like we are, unchanged, without our miracle, because God's way is inconvenient to what we're used to. How many people sit in darkness today because God's way is just a little too inconvenient, just a little too messy, a little too real? To come face to face with the mud and gunk that is our sin and be washed clean. That's not the message, but that's good preaching. Amen. All right, let's look at this here. Verse number 10. How were thine eyes open? Well, he made me wash, and I went and washed, and I received my sight. Then they said unto him, where is he? And he said, I don't know. I'm not the guy who could see. You were supposed to pay attention to where he's at. I was blind. Gosh. Then that's the way folks are. You know, blame the guy who got the miracle. All right, verse 13. They brought him to the Pharisees. Let the interrogation begin. All right, verse 14. And it was the Sabbath day when Jesus made clay and opened his eyes. Then again, the Pharisees also asked him how he had received his sight. And he said to them, he put clay on my eyes and I washed and do see. And I imagine he's like, and he's still enamored with the fact that he can see. Verse 16, therefore said some of the Pharisees, this man is not of God, because he keepeth not the Sabbath day. Others said, how can a man that is a sinner do such miracles? Remember, this is a creative act of God. This man had no ocular sight, no way to use his eyes. He may not even had eyes, but he got them now. Just because you got ears don't mean you have the nerves or the apparatus. Just because you've got bones don't mean you've got legs that can walk. And it says here, and there was a division among them. And you're going to find the gospel divides. Verse 17, they said to the blind man again, what sayest thou of him that he hath opened thine eyes? And he said, he is a prophet. Verse 18, but the Jews did not believe concerning him that he that had been blind and received his sight until they called the parents of him that had received his sight. Now you need to understand the culture here. This is why I think this guy was the son of a Levite, because they knew who his mommy and daddy were. Who gives a rip who that poor blind man is if he isn't? If he's a Benjamite or he's a Danite or whatever, or from the tribe of Zebulun or the tribe, who cares? But the priests and the Levites knew who his daddy was. So they went and got his parents. Forget the fact the guy was blind and now he sees. Let's talk to his mom and dad. And they said to him, saying, is this your son who ye say was born blind? Are you still going to maintain this farce that he's not? Because listen, today gypsies are still hated in the world because they train their children to be beggars. You talk to Kevin Hutchison over in Romania. If they can scar their kid or hurt their kid to make them look more pitiful and make them better beggars, they will. I know that's disgusting, but that's what they do to make a living. So they're blaming his parents. They're saying to his parents, so are you ready to confess that this scam is over? That's what they're saying. You say he was born blind. Look at this. He said, his parents answered and said, we know that this is our son. He's born blind, then how doth he now see? His parents answered and said, we know that this is our son and that he was born blind. Oh, we'll give you that much. But by what means he now seeth, we know not, or who hath opened his eyes, we know not. He is of age, ask him. He shall speak for himself. They just threw Junior under the bus. Because if you're a Levite, where do you think you get your money from? The temple. Look at the next verse. These words spake his parents because they feared the Jews, for the Jews had agreed already that if any man did confess that Jesus was Christ, he should be put out of the synagogue. See, a lot of your cults, all of your cults, are really a community-based religion where they police their own. This man, who's a Levite, is about to lose his income and his retirement if he were to say, well, it was Jesus who healed him. So to save his own situation, he throws Junior under the bus. But by what means he now seeth, we know not, nor who hath opened his eyes, we know not. He is of age, ask him, he shall speak for himself. Verse 23, therefore said his parents, he is of age, ask him. Verse 24, then again called they the man that was blind and said unto him, give God the praise. We know that this man is a sinner. Verse 25, and he answered and said, whether he is a sinner or no, I know not. One thing I know, that whereas I was blind, now I see. Then said they unto him again, what did he do to thee? How did he open thine eyes? Okay, guys, okay. This is going to be the fourth time I've said it. Are everybody paying attention? I mean, I can just imagine him. How many times do you want me to tell you? Verse 27, I've told you already, and you did not hear. Wherefore would you hear it again? Will you also be his disciples? Who's blind now? He's now the resident theologian in the crowd. I mean, I don't understand why you guys don't get that. That's what he's saying now. I don't understand why you don't get this. Verse number 28, and he says, then they reviled him and said, thou art his disciple. We are Moses' disciple. And we know that God spake unto Moses. As for this fellow, we know not from whence he is. Okay, and here's this blind guy. Okay. He's like, all right, listen, everybody. He's like, the man answered and said, why, herein is a marvelous thing that ye know not from whence he is, and yet he hath opened mine eyes. Now, he's like, track with me, guys. Now, we know that God heareth not sinners. Okay, this is the other reason why I think he's a Levite. Look, you know, I've been sitting outside that gate, and you know, my mommy and daddy taught me that in my nursery rhymes that God would send a Messiah. And you know, it was you guys who've been telling people that the Messiah would open blind eyes. And it was you guys who've been telling all of us since we were little bitty kids, all the way up through our bar mitzvah and all into our adulthood, you're the knuckleheads who've been reading the scriptures and telling us that this is what the Messiah would do. That's what he's saying. I want you to understand, in context, that's what he's doing. He's now the resident theologian, and he's using his word, their words against them. He's feeding it back to them. Look at this. And the man answered and said, why, hearing is a marvelous thing that you know not from whence he is, and yet he hath opened mine eyes. Now, we know that God heareth not sinners. You guys taught me this. But if any man be a worshiper of God and doeth his will, him he heareth. Since the world began, guys, since Genesis, was it not heard that any man opened the eyes of one that was born blind? If this man were not of God, he could do nothing. They answered and said unto him, thou wast altogether born in sins, and dost thou teach us? Yep, pretty much. Yeah, I am. How is it you don't get this? You teach it all the time. I sat outside that gate and I listened to it every day of my life. And I would have pointed to my mom and dad and went, you guys taught me this. In my nursery rhymes, you taught me this. If this man were not of God, he could do nothing. Verse 35, Jesus heard that they'd cast him out, and when he found him, he said unto him, dost thou now believe on the Son of God? Verse 36, and he answered him and said, who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him? I've never seen him, but I want to. Look at this. And he said, thou hast both seen him, and it is he that talketh with thee. And he said, Lord, I believe. And he worshiped him. Now there's a difference. Here's the thing. He knew who he was talking to. This is the one my dad taught me about in Isaiah. This is the one my nursery rhyme spoke about. This is the one that Moses said would come. He not only is my Savior, he is my God. Now who's blind? Now who's blind? Let's stand with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Who's blind now? This man who was born blind, this man who could not have anything that this world offers because of his blindness, now has everything the next one offers because he sees. And today, if you died, do you know for sure you'd go to heaven? You can know right now if you'll trust Christ as your Savior. Say, Lord, I believe. Please forgive me. I believe. But you know, the majority of you in here I've talked to, I know your testimony in this. This really isn't a salvation message. Every head bowed and every eye closed. How many times do we find ourselves like the poor blind man? God wanting to inconvenience us and move us out of our spot of begging for scraps into living up to the potential of being the child of the King. I don't believe in the prosperity gospel, please. That's not what I'm talking about. But we won't ask in prayer. We won't believe when we read. We won't obey when commanded through the word. And we live it below the level of even mediocrity that God wanted for us as children, because what God is asking us to do, what God is trying to do in our life, is inconvenient, and it is outside of our norm, and it will have to move out of our comfort zone. We might even have to give up our spot. But isn't it time we stop begging from what the world offers and receive the healing and the sight that God offers as his child? You know, even though you're saved and you're on your way to heaven, you can say, Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief, God, but I believe. I believe. Let me see. Our Father and our God, we love you. In the next few moments, I call upon every soul in here to move and to seek you. I ask, God, that you'd speak to them, into every heart and every soul. Anyone who's watching right now on the internet, God, that you would move upon their heart too.
to move. In Jesus' name, amen. The altar is open, my brothers and sisters. Let us pray. Come and do business with God. Come and find sight. We all are born blind. We're all born with an inability to hear like we're supposed to and to do. But God miraculously, with salvation, offers us sight and hearing and ability to do if we'll just. I believe, Lord. I believe. Sometimes God's got to put the mud on our face to make us willing to go wash, to be clean. Brothers and sisters in Christ, are you clean today? Not just better than you were yesterday, are you completely clean? Is there everything right between you and your Savior? Have you repented of your sins? Have you confessed them? Have you asked God to forgive you and to be clean, to be usable? Long's it been since you saw from God's point of view? How long? You've been saved and you know it. Have you been scripturally baptized by immersion, by proper authority? Have you come? Have you been baptized? It's the next step. It's the next step for you. Come and identify publicly with Jesus Christ in the waters of baptism. I'm a member of the church to join, to come.
To reach out and touch Him. And say that we love Him.
Open our ears, Lord. Do you know that song? Sing. And help us to listen.
Open our eyes, Lord.
We want to see Jesus. Our Father and our God, I am thankful. Thankful, Father, that you brought us from blindness to sight when we trusted you as our Savior. I'm thankful, Father, that your word reveals to us the truth and the Holy Spirit writes it upon us and illuminates us. And Father, now as we go our separate ways, we know that we enter a world. We leave the embassy of God and go out into the world of darkness. People who are blind and have no ears to hear. But Father, help us to share the truth. Help us, Father, that they may come to know you as their Savior. God, how wonderful it'll be when they see you as you are. Bless us now. We're thankful for all that you've done in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you, man. Look this way, brother.